Good morning. Good to be back here again. And I bring greetings from the Malaysian Baptist Convention. For some of you who may not know, I've just taken over as the chairman for the Baptist Convention from the beginning of this year. I can't remember which year I took over, but I just want to greet you. And I want to thank you for being partners with Convention and the leadership of now is Reverend Dr. John Cock, and his team has been such a support and blessing to the convention. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you that, Lord God, that we are gathered here not to hear a man speak, but we want to hear your voice. Lord, each of us are in different stages of our lives where we need a word from you as an encouragement, as something that propels us forward in our journey on this planet. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In the year 2000, I became a young father, and I was 31 years old, so now you know my age. And as a young man and a young baby, the only child both Surya, my wife, and I have, she's a daughter, and, very excited. So one Sunday in the month of December, I remember this very clearly, just before Christmas, my wife was away teaching in another church, and so I had to handle the baby. And that Sunday, I had to do worship leading as well. And so after the service, I'm the associate pastor, so the senior pastor goes off, the associate pastor has to do everything. And so after cleaning up, I locked up and I drove back. And as I was driving back, I realized something is missing. In those days, we carry babies in a basket, not the market basket, yeah? Those rattan basket. And so the rattan basket was missing. And I panicked because I was about to reach home and I forgot where I left my baby. And so I rushed back to the church. I opened the doors and to my relief, the basket was in one of the pews, and when I went near the pew, I saw my daughter playing. We have all these things dangling down from the holder, and she was playing with that and smiling at me. And that day, I kind of like stopped breathing for a while because just thinking about what my wife is going to do to me when I tell her that I have lost the baby, and so I just like, big sigh. And I remembered that my duty is not just being a good pastor. My responsibility was, I was great at what I was doing, I was a good communicator, I was a good pastor, but I was a bad dad. How many fathers forget their children and lock them up? Although someone said, that's the best place to lock your child up, the church. But I felt, that I need to improve. I was not a responsible father. And that I learned that day that we have many responsibilities in life, not just one. Because I was so focused in doing my role as a pastor well that I forgot I'm also a dad. I forgot that I'm also a son. I forgot sometimes that I was also a husband. And in every one of those roles, we have responsibilities. I have a responsibility to be a good husband. I have a responsibility to be a good son. I have a responsibility to be a good father. I have a responsibility to be a good pastor and responsible. And I also have a responsibility to be a good citizen of Malaysia. Can I hear amen? Any Malaysians in this church? Can you please put up your hand, any Malaysians? Hey, very few Malaysians, huh? Where are the rest of you from? I know that Indonesia is a few. How many Indonesians, please put up your hand? Oh, quite a lot, yeah. How many from China? So where are you from? I'm a proud Malaysian, and I will always be a proud Malaysian. The reason why I'm proud is because God placed me here. And it's in the scriptures. Yeah? He determines where we ought to be born. Amen? And I'm a very, very proud Malaysian because my God placed me here. And so this morning, I want to remind you that as we place so many responsibilities, we hold so many responsibilities in our lives, we also need to think about our responsibility as followers, as disciples of Christ. I think you all forgot. Some of you may know me. I preach better if you respond. If you don't respond, I sleep. I didn't say you sleep, huh? I sleep. It has happened before in an Anglican church. Okay, so I want to remind you one more time. You know, I think I've been here quite a few times. If you respond, I preach better. Do you want me to preach better? Okay, praise the Lord. Now you're responding. Okay, so let's look at our responsibilities as Christians, as disciples, as followers of Christ. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 and then 9 to 12. Okay, 1 and then to 9 to 12. And in this passage, Paul teaches the church in Thessalonica the responsibilities of or a responsibility of a follower of Christ. And so I want to start with verse 1, and this is what it says. Dear brothers and sisters. Okay, so it's for both gender, okay? Brothers and sisters, because some of you say it's only for brothers. We sisters are being left out. No, this is for all. This is all our responsibility. We urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God. Say, pleases God. As we have taught you, you are doing this already, and we encourage you to do so more and more. So Paul is saying to the church in Thessalonica, we have already taught you about this, about your responsibility to please God, and you are already doing it, but I want to urge you to do more and more. I want to encourage you today that our responsibilities should not be just whatever I can. Okay, for those of you who are not Malaysian, that is a Chinese way of saying, I do what I can. Okay? And it is not just whatever I can. But Paul is telling us to constantly do more and more. Maybe this is what he meant by saying, go the extra mile. And to constantly grow in this area. Today, I can say I'm quite a good dad because I've learned not to lose my daughter. Although she's 26 years old now, but I make sure I know her whereabouts all the time. Because I've learned a very important lesson when she was 6 months old. You know, you don't lock your six-month-old baby in the church. And I learned a really important lesson at that time that I need to play every area of my life with good, being very responsible in all areas of my life. And so here, Paul is saying the first area that we ought to be looking at is our responsibility, okay? Our responsibility to please God. That's what verse 1 is saying. And I'm very sure that many of us are constantly aware of this and we are already pleasing God. But today, from the words of Paul, I want to remind all of us, including myself, do all the more. More and more. Measure. Measure yourself. Don't measure others. Measure yourself. Whether you are growing in your responsibility of pleasing God. So I ask myself this question. How do I please God? And as I searched the scriptures, I found three ways that we can please God. One of the ways is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Let me read it for you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 says, "By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God." Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter where we call it the Hall of Fame for all the faithful ones. The Bible records in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, who's who, the great men of faith. So we call it the Hall of Fame of all these names that is listed and names that are not listed. And Enoch is listed there as one who was taken away from the face of the earth without facing death because he was commended as one who pleased God. Now, what did Enoch do? If you go to the book of Genesis, you read about Enoch. It only says that he walked with God. What does it mean, walking with God? I have a whole series of teaching on walking with God. And walking with God for Enoch's situation is, I do not see anywhere in the Bible a listing of how many churches he has planted. I did not see, Enoch doing any miracles. And, because a lot of us have wrong idea that pleasing God means, especially Asians, we ought to be, now, I'm also very careful to say this, because then people go on another mode. A lot of us Asians, we are achievement-orientated, right? We got to achieve something, yeah? The Chinese, you need to be prosperous. For the Indians, we need to be doctors or lawyers. You understand what I'm saying? In both ways, we need to make money. And so, achievement-orientated, that's what Asians are always. You know, when we talk, the first thing we ask is, have you eaten? Right? Yeah. Second question is what? Oh, y'all don't know. Your young generation, y'all, yo, bro, that's it, you know. Yeah, but the older generation, we always ask, what do you do? Basically, your status. What do you do for a living? And so we are very achievement-oriented people. And sometimes, listen, sometimes I need to be very careful. It doesn't mean you don't do anything in church. You don't do anything for God outside. But to please God is not just by doing things. It's by living the way He has called us to live through His words. It is living out the word of God that pleases God. Church, do you understand what I'm saying? It's not just achievement. We can't go before God with all our titles. And I have quite a few. We can't go before God with all our certificates. And I have quite a few. But that is not what pleases God. What pleases God is a consistent life that pleases God. And Enoch had a very consistent walk with God. There's not an up and down, up and down. Today, I'm happy. I'm hallelujah. Tomorrow, I'm not happy. We ask all the questions to God. Why, God? Why me? Why are you unfair? I know none of you in this church ask such questions. Must be only me, the sinner. And the sinner is the head of the Baptist. That's funny. But the question, my dear brothers and sisters, that all of us have to really ask ourselves is, have I been responsible to please my God by living a consistent walk? How many wives here would like a husband based on day? Because if your husband feels like being a husband, on Monday, I be your husband. On Tuesday, we are friends. You know, I was talking with young people. They have something called situationship. No longer relationship. Situationship. If situation allows, we are okay. If situation doesn't allow, which after you get married, it doesn't allow all the time. Even in the morning, you wake up. Why you never put your laundry, you know, clothes in the basket? You know, the situation doesn't allow that time to have a good relationship. Because when I wake up in the morning, I need peace. Not, why you never throw the laundry in the right place? Why you never make up the bed? Which I need some discipline in my life also, you know. But those of us who are married know that in every situation, we are married. And then I was talking to some young people. What do they call that? Vacation. Vacationship. How many of you know what is that? That means there's only relationship when they're traveling. When you have a suitcase, you have relationship. If you don't have a suitcase, bye-bye. I don't know you. In my younger days, I was naughty. But I never knew all these ships. You understand? There was only one thing, commitment. I was telling my wife, how I wish I knew. I was born in a different era. Because now everything. But listen, in responsibilities, with God, we can't have this kind of relationship. You're either His child or you're not. And it's our responsibility to walk consistently before Him. Secondly, how do we please God? A generous nature pleases God. A generous nature is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Do not forget to be kind and liberal, for with sacrifices of that sort, God is greatly pleased. In Isaiah, I can't remember 33 or 32, it talks about The scripture says, a generous person devises generosity. Okay? A generous person devises what? Generosity. Generosity here cannot be prayed over people, no. God make him generous. God make him generous. It flows out of a person right from within. They live to be a blessing to people. Amen. And that pleases God. And I don't want to talk too much on this because a lot of Malaysians really understand this point. And that's something that we ought to be commended for. Amen. And the third thing is, how do we please God? Through worship. True worship pleases our God. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman that he was having a conversation with in John chapter 4, verse 23, the time is coming and is even now here when true worshipers will give worship to the Father in the true way of the Spirit. For this are the worship desired by the Father, in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. So true worship pleases God, not lip service. In Isaiah, God said, "These people worship me with their lips, but their heart is far away." You know, sometimes that has happened to me. I'm very sure it never happened to you. That in the church, while worship is happening, or especially when a boring message is being preached, my mind is thinking about, I'm from Penang, cha kui tiao. I'm like, where am I going for lunch? And the pastor is thinking, wow, this guy is so intense in thought about my message. But the mind is where? Oh, the Siam Road one, or in, you know, Love Lane, or Orang Selamat. Which one better, huh? It's all happening up here. It doesn't happen in Indonesia, right? Pastor's like, ah, nah. We Indonesians fast all the time. True worship. Listen, my dear friends, our responsibility to please God is a very important responsibility. You remember my story? We all play different roles and we have to play every role with responsibility. Not just pay attention to one and forget the other. Secondly, our responsibility to love fellow believers, verses 9 to 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. This is what it says. As regards brotherly love, you don't need any written instructions. God Himself is teaching you to love each other. Verse 10. And you are already extending your love to all the Macedonians. Yet, listen, huh? Yet, we urge you to have more and more of this love. In this passage, it's a passage about more and more. Earlier, to please God, you say you're already pleasing God, but do more and more. Now, in regards of loving one another, you're already loving, but do it more and more. There needs to be growth in our love for one another. Okay? And this is something very crucial. I'm glad they sang the song that they sang just now that talks about loving one another. This is how the world knows that we are His disciples. And so, this is what we ought to do. Our love for fellow believers proves discipleship. How do people know that you are a disciple of Christ? By your love for a fellow believer. Because Jesus said it in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I've been in the ministry 37 years now. One of the most difficult things is not teaching people, is loving people, especially people that I've been teaching. You understand what I'm saying? Because you teach and teach and they never change. To continue to love a people that you have been teaching and never learn and never change requires more and more love. It's easier to love animals, right? Because we are in this area where there's a mall that allows pets. And I don't own a pet, but I like this mall because I get to see other people's pet. And I realize that people really love their pets more than human beings. I'm not sure about here. In Penang, there are a lot of single ladies who don't want to get married, but they call their pets their children. Because they say, Mama, Mama, wash your bleep. Mama, do this. Mama, do. I'm like, ooh. If that is her child, I dread to see the husband. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because I think we want to love creatures that do not harm us or hurt us. Am I right? But I want to tell you this. In the church, in the family of God, we are being taught how to love unconditionally. What's the word? Unconditionally. In 37 years, I have a PhD. How to be betrayed. How to be stabbed from the back. And all my life, I've only been a minister in a Baptist church. So my PhD comes from the Baptist. And so I want to teach you, as a congregation in this church, we're going to get hurt. But remember, the scripture says our responsibility is to love one another. Not only love those who are nice, but to love all, serve all. And Jesus showed us how. Amen? Only then, okay, can we be his disciples. Second, our love should be pure and fervent. Don't use people. You know, I had one time people moving from one church to another church because they said, oh, our circle of business friends there is over, so we want to be in another church so we can find another circle of business friends. I'm like, what? The church has become a place where you make business? Did you not read the Bible? When Jesus came with a whip and cleansed the temple of God and said this, do not make the house of worship into a place of... Maybe we're not reading the same version. But I need to remind us, the church is a place of not networking, but to be a place where we are transformed and changed to love one another in a pure and fervent way. Not to use people, but to be a blessing to people. That when people come in contact with us, they need to be transformed and become better. That they do not feel used. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, this is what it says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Now, you can have sincere love for each other as brothers and sisters because you were cleansed from your sins when you accepted the truth of God, of the good news. So, see to it that you really do love each other intensely with all your hearts. To love one another intensely. You know, sometimes in a church, we don't know everyone now. But we can start in our, what do you call here? Cell group? House group? Cell group. Huh? Cell groups, right? Connect groups. Yeah. In your connect, start there. Love one another intensely, fervently, pure-hearted. To truly see that each one of us are transformed. You remember this. You are not perfect. The other person is also not perfect. We are all being transformed. So why be so harsh with one another? Yeah, maybe the other person is quick fire. I call them quick fire. They speak without thinking. But it's okay. Give the Holy Spirit time to change the person. You put up with it, lah. You learn how to. Pray for the person. Don't gossip about the person. The problem in the church is that we're quick to talk to others before we talk to God. Pray for the person. Not go and talk to another person about the person. I'm handling so many situations among pastors because pastors themselves have made these mistakes. I just came back from Sabah. Every problem that I have faced 1 month in Sabah among pastors has nothing to do with sin, but has, maybe I shouldn't say nothing to do with sin, some sin, sin of the tongue and the heart. I was about to say counseling skills. Because when you talk to someone or you're counseling someone, you never, ever share about that to anyone else. You pray for the person and you continue with their counseling. This is rule number one in counseling. But when the pastor accidentally uses it as a preaching illustration, paham-paham sajalah. And that's what happens. And so, I realize this loving one another in the church, especially pure intention, is not easy. I understand, brothers and sisters, how you feel. But the scripture commands us to bear with one another. You know why it says bear? Because it's hard. Bear with one another. You all bear with one another when you are married, right? Right? My wife bears with me. Poor woman. I don't know how she does it, but she bears with me. Because my pace of life is so fast. Because she's always packing, unpacking, packing, unpacking, packing, unpacking. Where's next? Where's next? The most expensive things that we have is a traveling bag. Because it suffers a lot. And so, it's not easy. That kind of lifestyle. Our kitchen is very clean. Because it's hardly used. But our hawker is very happy. He's always used. So, I want to say this to all of us here. Bear with one another. Just like in a marriage, we have a commitment. We have a responsibility with one another. But the problem is, every slight situation becomes an offense and we leave. Even in workplace now, you see the turnover of workers in workplace. You know, I prayed for a young lady to get a job. She said, "Pastor, please pray for me." I prayed for her. 6 months later, I asked her, "How's your work?" She said, "Which one, Pastor?" "What do you mean, which one?" "I changed company twice." In 6 months, two companies? That's record. Because I know uncles who have no hair have been in a same church, same company for 30 years. Today's young generation, 30 years in same company. Wow! Kenna! Is it possible? God, you go and see all those no hair or white hair. It is possible. They stick with the same wife for 50 years. Why not same company? Same one, you know, same one. 29 years. Praise the Lord. Cannot afford to change. Listen, fervent. Finally, our love should increase. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, this is what it says. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Just as ours does for you. Third thing and final one is our responsibility to live before sinners. What's our first responsibility? To please God. What's our second responsibility? To love one another. But the third is our responsibility to live before sinners. And I know your theme for the year or for this month? This month is about evangelism. In verse 11 and 12, this is what it says. Paul says, this should be your ambition, to live a quiet life, minding your own business. I like this version. Minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we commanded you before. As a result, people who are not Christians will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others to meet your financial needs. In other words, Paul is saying, live in the way where the world will respect you. Live in a way that people who do not know Christ look at you and say, wow, that's what I want. And I have put there three ways how we can do that. Number one, we should manifest our new life. We should manifest our new life. Our new life in Christ. Not manifest our big flashy cars. Not manifest our big flashy house. But manifest our new life. What is this new life? Okay. First, Romans 6:4. We were dead and buried with him in baptism, so that just as he was raised from the dead by the splendid revelation of the Father's power, so we too might rise to life on a new way altogether. You see, when you're buried, not for real, in the water, in the baptism pool, the pastor always says, buried with Christ and raised into newness of life. That new life, if you were a cheat before, you need to be a very honest man now. If you were a man with foul mouth, your tongue has to be sanctified because it's gone under water. The baptism water, I mean. And so that new way of living is your first responsibility of testimony before sinners. Secondly, we should manifest the life of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, sorry. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks about flesh and spirit constantly, always fighting. The spirit wants one thing, the flesh wants another. And so, Paul is saying here, let your life be guided by the Spirit, and then you will certainly not indulge the cravings of your lower nature or your fleshly nature. That means surrender your life to the Spirit of God. Let the Holy Spirit teach you how to live. And then later on this, in that same passage, in verse 22, it tells you, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness. It goes one whole list of 9 different manifestations of the fruit that comes out of love. If you realize, it doesn't say fruits. It says fruit. Check your scriptures. Because it starts with love and it develops into many other things. Amen. Do you understand? And so, this manifestation of a life of a spirit is crucial as our testimony to the people outside. And then finally, we should manifest the life of Christ. Life of Christ. And scripture says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Christ did. Those who say they live in God should live their lives in as Christ did. My dear brothers and sisters, our responsibilities as followers, as disciples of Christ, we need to do a checkup today. A lot of you may have heard this message before, but we need to check up whether we're really doing our responsibility or not. That we do not lock up our kids and forget our responsibility. And this morning, can I pray for you? Your responsibility to please God, your responsibility to love one another, and your responsibility to live before the sinners. Would you stand with me as I pray for you? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that you used your servant Apostle Paul to write to the church, to teach the church in Thessalonica, a good church, a godly church, a church that lived to fulfill the word of God. And he used this word more and more. You're already doing it, but do it more and more. And I pray for Desa Park City Baptist Church that, Lord, truly this church will begin to live in a manner to please you, to love one another, and, Lord, to live a life that will be a testimony to the world. Bless them, O God. Give them the strength. The enemy always tries to knock them down. But I pray that they will rise up. Every time when they feel that they are falling, they will hold out their hands for Christ to lift them up again from sinking. And so they may be able to walk for you, just like Enoch walked with you. In Jesus' name, amen.